This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Representative Randy Feenstra. Comes from the 4th Congressional District of Iowa, member of the House Ag Committee and House Ways and Means Committee. Randy Feenstra set to join us. First off, Dr. Darren Hudson at Texas Tech.
Where we are relative to the other fibers, polyester being, you know, the primary one. You know, there are issues with microplastics and all these other things, and they're starting to work their way into sort of the consumer's mind, but it's not yet been reflected in the way that they purchase. So, you know, if that shifts, and we need to work on trying, you know, to make that a reality so that consumers are making those decisions, when that shifts, you know, then we would expect a bit more strength on the cotton side. But I think that holds for beans and corn and, you know, a bunch of other products.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Randy Feenstra. Represents the 4th Congressional District of Iowa, member of the House Ag Committee, member of the Ways and Means Committee. And when you talk about two of the biggest committees in Washington, D.C., you're on both of them.
Yeah, Tony, it's great to be on with you. And I enjoy being on both committees. I'm a passionate supporter of agriculture. I live in the most agricultural district in the country, and probably the most agricultural county in the country, Sioux County. So it's my passion.
Now, speaking of home, you had the chance to kind of help bring the Ways and Means Committee to the Iowa State Fair, and the topic was taxes. First off, the opportunity to bring members to Iowa, that had to be good. But the second part is some of the content you got. How would you recap that Ways and Means hearing?
Well, Tony, I tell you what, to bring New Yorkers, people from Arizona, other places in the United States to the Iowa State Fair to see what agriculture really is, to see the livestock, to see the equipment, for them to fly in and see corn and soybeans for as far as the eye can see. I had so many comments like, wow, this is Iowa. Of course, my comment was, yeah, this is heaven. But it was just great for them to see. But the Ways and Means Committee hearing was on tax, and we had a lot of time on agricultural tax. When we talk about stepped up in basis that is going to go away under the new administration, or I should say the Biden-Harris administration noted in their green book that would probably go away. So there's a concern there. 179 depreciation, where you can absolutely depreciate that one-time asset. And then a lot of pass-throughs, the cooperative pass-throughs, that 20% qualified business income pass-through that affects many of our farmers. That was also discussed. So there's really some significant things that go away in 2025, and that's what we're working on, and that's what we're talking to farmers about, of how that would affect them.
You're mentioning something that goes away in 2025. Something that goes away before we get there is a farm bill, and you took some questions about that as well. What's the status of the 24 farm bill?
You think about this, you know, last September we did a one-year extension. I thought, well, we'll long, you know, not have to use that, but here we are again coming towards September, and we still haven't passed the farm bill. And I talked to our chairman G.T. Thompson, who's doing a great job. He's coming to our Farm Progress show next week. But we want to get it on the floor, the U.S. House floor, in September. And that's the goal. But our problem is there's still no movement in the U.S. Senate. And we're just begging Senator Stabenow from Michigan, who heads the Ag Committee in the Senate, to start moving on some policy. You know, we've got some top lines, but here's the deal. We can't negotiate with ourselves. We got to have something coming out of the Senate that we can work with. And that's our concern right now.
You are pretty much aligned. Anybody we talk to who has a stake in this says we need a farm bill. We all agree we need a farm bill. Kind of the same thing with year-round E15. It seems like everybody agrees, but yet at the end of the day, we haven't been able to figure out a solution. Are we any closer on that?
Yeah. You know, this is such a struggle. I live in my district. We're the largest biofuels district in the country. In Iowa, obviously, 42 ethanol plants, 11 biodiesel plants. E15 year-round is paramount. When we start talking about liquid fuels, it really, you know, we can talk about mandates and everything, but in RVOs, but really it comes down to if we can put 15% in everyone's tank, it's a difference maker. And that's what we want to try to do. And there's so much support, and it doesn't, it's not just Midwest. It's all southern states from Texas to Kansas to Oklahoma that say, you know what, this keeps liquid fuels on the map instead of going down the electric vehicle route. So we believe maybe we can get it done in lame duck, you know, hooking on to another bill, but it's going to be one of the key initiatives come next year. I mean, this has got to get done.
Some will say that this getting this done could help the next generation step in and start farming. I know you've been working on Crop Insurance for Future Farmers Act. That's your legislation. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you think about that next generation, and it scares me because there's so many retirements coming in from our producers and from our farmers in the next several years. And we want to make sure not only that they can buy the land, but frankly, it's the input costs that are just destructive when they go for that operational loan to that bank. So what we want to do, and this is part of the farm bill that simply says, can we give them a 15% discount for the first 2 years on that crop insurance? That's one of the most costly things that a farmer buys besides the seed is that crop insurance. And then have a discount for 10 years for that new producer who's buying that land. So when that land goes down to that next generation, at least they can cash flow what they're doing and have that operational loan and make it work.
You mentioned retirements, and if that doesn't go to existing farmers, it doesn't go to new entrants, it could easily go to foreign governments. Farmland Act, what's that?
Yeah, here again, we want to protect that land. We want that producer to pass it on to the next generation. You know, that American farmer belongs to that American farmland. And we get so worried about foreign investors. Obviously, we hear a lot about China, but there's other ones also. We want to make sure that we're overseeing, and CFS is looking at any purchase over $5 million. Who's purchasing it, and is this a purchase going to be approved or not? Why are they buying it? You know, obviously, we have grave concerns in North Dakota when land was bought next to a Air Force facility. You know, we have to know not only for security and safety, but also for our protection, our energy protection. Every other row goes to biofuels right now. So we have to know who's buying it, why are they buying it, and is it more important that that stays with the American farmer?
Another area you've been focused on is bird flu. And what's happening on that front?
Yeah, I tell you what, Tony, this is at the epicenter of my district. I mean, you talk about 100 million birds that have been depopulated over the last year and a half. Half of those, I should say, 25% of those are in my district, 25 million of them. And so we got to combat it. We've got to figure out a strategic solution. So I wrote a letter, which many of us members signed on to the Department of Agriculture, Secretary Vilsack, saying we've got to come to a solution. What can we do? Not only for a vaccine, but how is there a better way to depopulate? How can we create a better way to make sure that our farmers are compensated for the loss? Because this loss is not only just, you know, depopulating, it's the loss of the profits for probably 3 to 6 months before you get new birds and before they grow. So I just think we've been ad hoc at this for the last, since 2014. It's time to get the brilliant minds together in a room and say, hey, this is how we're going to come to a solution to try to solve this problem.
We started with your serving on the Ways and Means Committee. And as I looked across the dais there at the others who were there, I see quite a few who have spoke out in the past on the current situation that our country's in as far as the debt and the amount of money that now just goes to pay interest. I've seen you in some of these Ways and Means Committee hearings asking questions. So I guess the question is, can we get enough brilliant minds together to come up and find a solution? And maybe the solution isn't getting rid of everything we invest in.
You nailed it. You have to think about this. You know, we have $35 trillion in debt. Right now, every year, 42% of our revenue coming into the Department of Revenue, 42% goes to interest. And that's only going to grow because obviously that rate on our bonds are going up. So we have to do something about it. This isn't wait till tomorrow. We got to find solutions today. And a lot of that can be done. We have to grow our economy. To me, it starts with having successful farm communities. How do we do that? Having a stronger export market. Right now, our main streets are really getting hurt with that, those commodity prices. When they're that low, that means that farmers not buying that next piece of equipment, that next tractor, whatever. Our farmland is obviously decreasing. But when you grow that economy, more revenue goes into the Department of Revenue, and that's what we got to do. And we got to look at our spending. Obviously, we have spent on a lot of things, but we have to get things in under control, especially unfunded liabilities. And that starts also by looking at things like Medicare, Social Security, not to touch what's currently there, but the future person, that 21-year-old that's getting on Social Security, that's paying into Social Security. How can we make sure that we can secure it for long term? Because in 8 years, think about this, in 8 years, it's going to take everybody's going to take a 22% hit on their Social Security check if we don't start resolving this now.
They're definitely tough problems. The answers are there. Sounds like you've found them. Just a matter of getting enough people together and getting things done, much like the Farm Bill. As we wrap up, are you still, I mean, we've talked about some tough problems here. Tough situations. Are you still optimistic?
I am. I am optimistic that we will find solutions. You know, I just think, especially our producers, they're resilient. I continue to worry, obviously, about our commodity prices, but here's the deal. I think we will work together and we'll get this passed. And maybe it will happen in November, December when we come back and lame duck. But everybody knows that we are the breadbasket to the world. And we don't have a choice. We got to get it done.
He's the pride of the 4th District of Iowa, the Honorable Randy Feenstra, member of the House Ag Committee and the Ways and Means Committee in Washington, D.C. He's in Iowa today and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
In this heat, you're concerned about both the health of your animals and their performance. Strobel Super Shades can reduce the dangerous ground temperatures 30 degrees or more. Strobel Super Shades, the best-built cattle shades in the industry, available in 40 by 40 with 1,600 square feet of shade or 20 by 20, proven to protect your cattle and increase your gains. Go to StrobelShades.com for more. StrobelShades.com. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest, Representative Randy Feenstra, representing the 4th Congressional District of Iowa, member of the House Ag Committee, and also House Ways and Means.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association is looking for 50 playa lakes in need of restoration. This project brings free resources to you and includes a per-acre incentive. Playas matter today for our ecosystem and for tomorrow's water supply. To learn more, visit playasworkfortexans.com. Together, we can leave a legacy of water for future generations.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Representative Randy Feenstra from Iowa. In this heat, you're concerned about both the health of your animals and their performance. Strobel Super Shades can reduce the dangerous ground temperatures 30 degrees or more. Strobel Super Shades, the best-built cattle shades in the industry, available in 40 by 40 with 1,600 square feet of shade, or 20 by 20, proven to protect your cattle and increase your gains. Go to StrobelShades.com for more. StrobelShades.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Minor month-over-month adjustments were recorded in USDA's August look at meat production and prices for this year. But as World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekanowski indicates,
the overall story hasn't changed much from last month and several of the previous months going back a while.
Reflected in trends such as higher slaughter rates for cattle and lower slaughter rates for hogs, growing broiler production, and strong demand to boost prices for steers and broilers year over year. Turning to U.S. meat trade,
the main change is in terms of pork exports. We're seeing a lot of competition in pork export markets, especially from Brazil, and that's starting to show up in relative weakness in U.S. pork exports, which we reduced this month by 125 million pounds.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.